life today.
Big day for the Supremes. That would be the court. They're talking about a couple of things, including gun bans and lifting it in light of a Chicago case. Does that mean things will change around the rest of the United States in cities and towns where you live, where perhaps you don't have the same kind of gun rights that your neighbors do just a couple of states over? Plus, Elena Kagan, will she be the next Supreme Court justice? Clint David joins us on our next show. He's an attorney, to talk about that and a couple of other things. But will she make a good justice if she sails through the proceedings? I think they're going to get pretty hot, but I do think she gets appointed as the next Supreme Court justice. She'll be the youngest and very, very liberal. But does it change the balance of the court? Not really, because she's stepping into a liberal judge's shoes, one that wasn't thought to be that liberal until he actually got into the robe. So from that point of view, no, but the rulings that Elena Kagan will be part of are monstrous ones and that shape the laws of the land. That's why it's vitally important. It's not just a legacy pick for the president. It goes beyond that. It goes to all of our rights. She won't be part of this gun deal, and that's because she's not a Supreme Court justice at this point. She's going through the hearings on the Hill. The Senate Judiciary Committee will grill her, I think grill her, because I believe the Republicans will try to filibuster while the gun decision is going on with the Supremes, and this will be one of the last things that they talk about besides a financial regulation that kicked in the United States after the Enron debacle, and it could affect a lot of stock houses, and certainly it will affect people in the financial industry depending on which way they go on that one. But I think the gun deal is a bigger deal for most people because of the Second Amendment rights and where you stand on owning a gun. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, another week here on America Tonight. We're getting ready for 4th of July weekend. Hopefully all of you are making great plans and you have a long weekend in store of some fun and frivolity, and keep somewhere in your heart the meaning of the message of freedom and what our forefathers did so we can live in the greatest, greatest, greatest country on the face of the earth. There's no doubt about it. You visit other places, they're terrific. There are some great, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful places to see in the world. But we live in the best country, and I think that's why so many people that call America Tonight are so passionate about their beliefs, and truly it is not lost on me, my friends. Let's start with the decision to replace McChrystal with Petraeus. It's still sinking in, and there's still reaction around the world and even in Afghanistan as to what, you know, what does this mean? What does it mean for Afghanistan? Because it's a changing of the guard. And is it a change in strategy? And if anything's tweaked, what is tweaked? I think the concern around the world is for the other people, the other allies who have at least some troops invested in it, is we're not gonna indefinitely stay in Afghanistan. In fact, David Cameron, the new Prime Minister of England, was clear to say that there would be no English troops in Afghanistan in 2015, that they would be gone by then, and we're, you know, that's 5 years down the road. Where are we going to be at this point? There is no end game. There is no hard target that I can see for Afghanistan. Here's what General Joseph Blotz had to say.
As President Obama and NATO Secretary General Rasmussen have stated, this is a change in leadership, in personnel, but it is not a change in policy or strategy. We all will not miss a beat in our operations to expand security here in Afghanistan. Regarding the mood of our troops and the pace of operations, there is absolutely no change whatsoever.
All right, so that's the key thing there, is that if, honestly, in Afghanistan, they believe that there's no change and that it is seamless, because like Iraq, in a much, it's different because the two countries are different, but mirroring it in certain ways, was the idea is to build up the Afghanistan army and to also do that with the law enforcement types in Afghanistan who are riddled with corruption. But then you look at Hamid Karzai and you could say the same thing, and he's the president for six more years as he was reelected in that bogus election that was held how long ago? Five, 6 months ago. So moving forward in Afghanistan, I think the big question is, what's the timeline? Honestly, tell us the timeline, tell us the end game, and get out of Afghanistan. Because you look at some of the other hot spots in the world, and I really think part of the target was missed, because Pakistan has to be part of the keys to that hornet's nest. And yes, there is the chase for Osama bin Laden. No new intel in the past, how many years, 3 years, according to the CIA director himself, Leon Panetta, said that. So it seems like all roads to bin Laden end in nothing but dead ends. That has to be a key priority if we're have spies and if we have people that are assimilating, and if we've got soldiers there, there has to be some way, I truly believe this, to find out information about Osama bin Laden. But more importantly, keep swatting at the flies. It's like whack-a-mole, trying to get as many Taliban out, trying to get as many Al-Qaeda out of the region. Can you ever completely kill out Al-Qaeda and the Taliban? And the answer is no. And a lot of people believe you cut off one limb and then just another one's going to grow back. But I understand the in the war of terrorism, of trying to fight, of trying to do something to make it happen so that we can get some sort of justice for what happened on 9/11. But I don't know that I do know we can whack at a million moles. We can go after a million Al-Qaeda members. But can we ever be certain that we've killed them off? And the answer is, of course not. And the scarier thing is the assimilation in the United States, because what is the retribution? You hear from these idiots like Faisal Shahzad, who almost blew up part of Times Square. Okay, the detonator was bogus, but he was lying in wait, waiting his turn, filled with rage inside over what was happening to Muslim people, as he said, and why are Americans in our country? Why are they doing that? Why are they going after our people? So the more that that is ratcheted up, that rhetoric, that propaganda, I think the more that people like Shahzad or Abdullah Muttalib, the Christmas Day bomber, are going to be motivated into action, even if they have to wait. And that's the scarier part. If they have to wait, they're willing to wait till they get their shot at making an attempt in a Times Square or on a train or someplace else where they can do a terrible amount of damage, whether it's a plane again. Speaking of planes, one was diverted, oh no, and then there was the train deal in Washington, D.C. Ooh, tough time for commuters. We'll talk about it next.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
So you think the massive Gulf oil leak won't affect the air you breathe? Think again. Benzene, a toxic gas emitted from crude oil and a known carcinogen, is now airborne, traveling hundreds, even thousands of miles inland. Whether you live near the Gulf or not, benzene and other volatile organic compounds could cause adverse reactions to those living inside your home. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, came to airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to clean the air on boats aiding in the Gulf cleanup. Do what NOAA did. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
You have to pack your patience when you're traveling these days. And it's not only just by plane, although a plane certainly is where a lot of the horror stories come from. Kate hanging out with you here on America Tonight. I've been in this situation. In fact, I think I did a show one time from, I know I did a show one time from the Admiral's Lounge or whatever it's called at American Airlines because I was delayed so badly in Philadelphia. I jumped on a line there and did a couple of hours from the Philly airport. I was stuck forever. They kept canceling the flight, and I decided I would try to do it anyway. It was a mess, and I have probably half a dozen at least horror stories of traveling, and most of them after 9/11. In fact, all of them after 9/11 and the crazy things that would change and the regulations and whatnot. Well, Hartford, Connecticut, that was the scene where passengers were on a diverted Virgin Atlantic Airways flight. They spent 4 hours stuck in a hot, dark plane. And where was it? Parked on a tarmac. You had babies crying, people upset, 3 people fainted. That's the thing. You gotta be a good actor. Faint so they take you away in an ambulance and you can get off the flight. It was bad weather that grounded the flight from London to Newark, New Jersey at in Connecticut. They were diverted to Bradley International Airport, and they landed at about 8:20. They were kept on the plane until about 1 in the morning. No food, no water. That's just crazy stuff. Here's what one of the passengers said.
I've been flying for 35 years, and this is my opinion, is the worst screwed up mess, or, you know, worst mess that I've ever witnessed.
So a reporter, isn't this nice, from the press of Atlantic City was on the flight. There were members of a girls' varsity crew team from Egg Harbor Township in New Jersey, and they're all there and talking and trying to calm people down. The plane's electricity went out twice. Two small fires broke out underneath the plane. There were 300 passengers on the flight. And I don't know what they do to deal with this, but I think they better do something. And what Virgin Air is saying is, look, the situation was beyond our control. There were weather conditions. We had to get customs and immigration to the airport. There might have been some mechanical things. The jet didn't have the air conditioning running when it was stalled. But it is that's just a crazy situation. Because remember, the three-hour limit on the tarmac strandings went into effect in April. But here's the kicker of this. It doesn't apply to foreign carriers or international flights by U.S. carriers. None of that. It does not apply. So if you have to wait, you have to wait. We're U.S. carriers. Have to have some kind of a contingency plan to return passengers if you're waiting for a prolonged period on the plane. And what is prolonged? If it's too many hours, they got to take you back to the terminal, so at least you could be in the terminal and make your own decision. But they didn't have to do that on this flight. And that, boy, that just sounds like a nightmare. If I'm Virgin Atlantic, I just do something. Because why have that ill will out there? Yes. It's not your fault with the weather or whatever, but I think I would still do something. Give them a discount, something that would make them feel better. But I would be, oh, Matt, would you just be going crazy? If I saw people feigning to get off of it, I'm not a good liar, but I might be tempted to try the feigning thing.
Yeah, create some kind of fake medical emergency
right.
To get yourself off the flight.
I'm diabetic. Take me off this flight right now. I have no blood sugar. There's no food here. It would be tough. It really would be tough to wait that out, no matter how patient of a person you were. No air. Oh, that feeling, that claustrophobic feeling is just awful. Hey, speaking of claustrophobic, I wonder if Elena Kagan is feeling claustrophobic at all, nervous, concerned about her answers. She seems to be pretty confident to me. I'll give her that. I don't think that. But she's definitely going to get grilled. And I think the Republicans are up for kind of a fight, especially with what's going on in the midterm elections coming up. I think that really the question is, though, is she qualified for this job? Is she up to the task? Can she be an impartial judge? That's the bigger thing. You want the most impartial you can get, but you know what? How in a person, it's like that 100% rule I always use. There is no 100% in anything. And there's no way you'd get a 100% impartial person to be a judge on the Supreme Court. But someone leaning a little bit more toward the middle, or somebody leaning toward being impartial, would be nice, right? But I don't see this at all with Kagan. And then she doesn't have a judge's background. But some people would praise that. She will be the 112th judge if she's confirmed. She'd be only the fourth woman on the Supreme Court. So the Senate Judiciary Committee starts those week-long hearings later today. And she won't face questions probably until Tuesday. Usually they go through a whole bunch of other things before that happens. And some of the questions are the same questions that are asked of other people. Can she, as a judge, can she somehow, you know, follow the, can she follow the Constitution and keep her political views out of her judgments? There's the big question for you. And then the one that they're going to try to get her on, I think, will be explaining when she was the dean at Harvard Law School and why limiting the military recruiting at the law school as a protest to the Pentagon's policy of barring openly gay soldiers. That will be one of the things that will come out, maybe not on the first day, but it will come out at some point in that week-long of hearings. And she's got no paper trail, so that means sparse record. So will she have a reliable vote with the Supreme Court? What is, you know, clearly, what does that mean? She argued six cases at the High Court, but that goes back to September, I guess. Goes back to September. And I mentioned this already. She was a Harvard Law Dean. She was a White House aide and a lawyer in the Clinton administration. She was a law professor at the University of Chicago and Harvard. She was a law clerk to Justice Thurgood Marshall. And the Republicans will blunt this to be certain. Absolutely. Can she, does she have the qualifications necessary? And I would express some reservations, to say the least. It'll be a hot topic on this show. I mentioned we're going to talk to Clint David on our next show about Kagan from a lawyer's point of view. Can she be impartial? How fast does she go through? Will a filibuster be successful? Speaking of filibusters, Scott Brown was trying to be just that thorn in somebody's side. The final approval of financial regulatory reform looked kind of crazy after a Saturday session. Scott Brown threatened to oppose it because he was upset about the $18 billion in new assessments and fees that were added. See, that's the thing. It's keeping an eye. You have to be a hawkeye on everything that is thrown into any piece of legislation. I say this so much, and I know all of you know that it's never what it seems on the surface. So Scott Brown was furious, and he decided, I'm gonna say my piece here. I'm gonna offer up a statement that the final compromise on this bill, this whole sweeping legislation, revamping the rules since the 30s, putting this $18 billion in these new assessments. He was one of only four Republicans who voted for the Senate's financial regulatory reform package. That was approved with two members not voting. And before that vote, Democrats had to overcome a filibuster aimed at killing the bill by the narrowest margin possible, 60 to 40. So Brown's possible defection from the bill increased the chances of a filibuster unless they could find that other vote. And the reason is because of the things that were thrown in the last hour in this regulatory reform package. There were these dissenters had it right, and it's a good thing because the watchdogs are the ones that are pulling out things that don't make any sense and that will actually squeeze the middle class. Meet you around the bend.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcast?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from Caro Stove. Caro Stove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at kerostove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at kerostove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to kerostove.com. Caro Stove, for family emergency solutions.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog.
Stop standing in dirty bathwater. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme-active bacteria float through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions' natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount.
It's easy, but this offer ends June 30th.
Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
just walk away, pretending everything's okay and you don't care about me.
Hey everybody, Kate hanging with you here on America Tonight. So we have the G20 meeting in Canada, and they pledge, the leaders there, to have their deficits by 2013. Call me cynical, but I think it's going to be tough. Team USA losing in the World Cup to Ghana 2-1. Briefly, we mentioned that at the top. And then Alex, the hurricane or tropical storm that's looking like it could be a hurricane, and how disastrous that might be for the Gulf of Mexico with this oil leak heading into day 70 in just a couple of days. And naturally, we touch on the heartwarming topic of men and crying. Is it taboo? Is it okay? What do you say? I think it's great. I think there's no reason why a man has to hold in his emotions. You guys don't have to hold in your emotions. Especially there are so many circumstances in life that lead you down the path of needing to release the tears. So I don't have a problem with it. I've seen a lot of guys cry. I mentioned Troy Aikman, I was at Troy Aikman's announcement when he retired, and probably there, they have a lot of British Petroleum stations, so I'm thinking that probably there they're getting socked pretty hard in Illinois. And then they could just be a cost thing too. What's the cost for the gasoline? I think people, especially when there's a big difference between station to station, I think people will look for the cheapest price they can get. If you're talking about anywhere from 15, 10 cents, even 8 cents, a lot of times, you know, you can Google and find out, or you just know from driving around where the cheaper gas is, and you don't want to pay the higher rates. And the British Petroleum stations have chunked up the numbers pretty high, I think. So that's also part of it, but I believe a lot of that is simply branding. Let's go to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
How you doing?
Good. How was your weekend?
Oh, quite interesting. We were watching a lot of the news channels.
Uh-huh. For to see all the protests and everything?
Yeah, just to let your people know, it wasn't all Canadians, so if they want to come up here for their vacations, we would love to have you. It was just a bunch of SH disturbers, you know, the people in black who were doing all this. And, you know, and I mean, I agree that, you know, you have a right to protest, you know, because there were a lot of union people there, people for the homeless, you know, low-cost housing, whatever. And it just took these people in black, notice I'm controlling my language, I think they were just trying to be, you know what, disturbers. And, you know, it was a black eye on Toronto, you know, but, like I said, I guess you've been to Toronto a couple of times.
Yeah.
You have to watch the Flyers lose.
Oh. To go to the Hockey Hall of Fame and to go to the CN Tower.
I've been to when I was in Toronto last month, Hockey Hall of Fame, I mean, if I would have passed away the next day, I would have been happy. That's how good it is.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth the $15. Okay, but I mean, it was just a bunch of you know what disturbers, and I like you mentioned men who cried. I almost cried. You know, and I mean, I can understand the police today having to use a certain amount of force, and I mean, these people in black, I mean, is that all they do for a living? I mean, this is what really ticked me off. I mean, my attitude would have been, hey, guys, G-A-L. You know what that means in text messaging language? Get a life.
Yeah, get a life, yeah.
Get a life, you know? And unfortunately, you know, bad things did happen. Like I was watching, like I said, all the news channels, and reporters just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, and one reporter was making a report that one of his cameraman got arrested just for being there.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, like I said, you know, people are more than welcome to come up here to Canada. It's just a bunch of, you know, if it would have been held like in Timbuktu,
They would show up.
Yeah, they'd find a way to show up. And now here in Canada, we don't have much time to relax because Her Majesty is coming here tomorrow. Well, she's going to Halifax, and then next week she'll be going to Toronto. So
that's a big deal. And then the other big deal is that she's going to Ireland for the first time in like 33 years or 34 years or some crazy thing.
Right. And you mentioned earlier about guys who cry.
Uh-huh.
Guess what? I cry. I'm proud. I mean, like, near the passing of my parents, you know, I get a little teary-eyed. And, you know, Julie understands, you know, I thought she'd give me this crap saying, hey, it's been 25 years since your mother passed away. Get over it. But she understands, you know, that I was close with her. And that, I don't do it all the time, but, you know, like for that, or believe it or not, I actually cried at watching Bambi.
Yeah, but I'm sure when you watched Bambi, you were probably a kid, too.
Yeah, that too.
I think there's nothing wrong with a good cry, Sam. Hey, you have a good one. Thanks for sharing.
Okay, take care.
All right, you heard what Sam said. He didn't like the fact that he felt like this was damaging his country because of the protests of the G20. But it doesn't matter where the G20 would be held, you would have those protests. So it's. I don't think it's necessarily significant that it's Canada, unless you had a bunch of people that were killed, and that's not the case. But there's no question wherever it's held, people come out of the woodworks to protest various things that are happening in the world. All right, speaking of things happening in the world, I mentioned this too, diving in a little bit deeper to the big switch with McChrystal being gone and Petraeus now as the lead general in this war in Afghanistan. And I think of past generals and the cycle. I mean, how you cycle through these generals and these top gigs in Afghanistan and Iraq and even over U.S. Central Command. And now you've got McChrystal Boom dismissed pretty much. I mean, he resigned because he knew he was going to get fired. So let's just say he resigned. But most of these generals really end up getting, I think, shellacked in the end. So with the military, you know, it's like you got to ask yourself, do you want your generals to be generals or do you want them to be politicians? We talked about that a bunch on America Tonight, and I think that's the biggest worry. What do you expect the military to do? They get sautéed when they speak in front of the House and the Senate by a lot of elected people who don't know much about war, to be honest. Don't know much. Now, I'm not saying all, because there are plenty who do. There are plenty who have served. But there are also those who have no clue. So what is going on? I think it's fair to ask, what is wrong with our system? What do you expect for the generals to do when you pretty much tie their hands behind their backs? And some of the biggest and the brightest get out when they realize, oh, I can't do this political thing. And, you know, you always have a commander in chief, so you can't have the military control that or take that over. But here you have now Petraeus coming in on the heels of McChrystal, who at one point they were talking about how he's just the greatest. And then, you know, he's got these great ideas about what to do. But over 9 years of a war, you have so many commanders who have just fallen on the sword because they don't know about politics. And they definitely don't know how to handle the press either. So what is the right kind of skill set that you expect a general to have? Hey, McChrystal had no clue. He had no clue about the media. He did about the military, and he sacrificed everything on the military side, but he had no clue about the media or the politics of it all. In fact, he tried to sidestep the politics as much as possible in a way, really, who can blame him? What do you think a general needs? What are the top three things a general needs to be successful? 800-259-5791 or email me at americatonight.net.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website,
yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms,
and not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
I hope that every penny that they've spent on me, they know it was money well spent.
I wouldn't have made a decision. I didn't want to come back and embarrass myself. You know I can play. And I'm going to prove that.
All right, a couple of prime examples of men crying. Do you recognize who those folks were? Could you say Brett Favre? Yeah, I think there was a little Brett Favre mixed in there. Well, our pal Greg Stebbin, he's an editor with Men's Health Magazine, joins us to answer the big bad question. Is it okay for men to cry? Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm really broken up about this.
I bet you are.
And I'm a little hurt by your introduction, so I may have to go in the corner and sniffle a little bit.
Hey, I'll say this. I think with athletes, especially when they retire, that's kosher. Everyone's okay with that. Well, I don't care if you're Michael Jordan. I don't care if you're, although I don't think he cried. Troy Aikman wept like a baby, you know, the former Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Brett Favre, you heard him there when he retired. Then, of course, he unretired. I think with athletes, it's okay. It's acceptable. But I don't know about the mere mortal men on the planet Earth. What do you think?
Oh, you mean so we're writing the rules now so that you first have to be an all-star professional athlete before you get cut some slack when you shed some tears?
That's
that
right.
That leaves me out, by the way.
That's right. If you are a he-man, then you are allowed to cry. I do totally think that. I think with athletes, it's okay, unless you're T.O., Terrell Owens, when he cried about, don't pick up my quarterback, man, everybody ripped him and made fun of it. But otherwise, I think it's okay.
Well, why is it? I know you're supposed to be interviewing me, but I'm puzzled by this. Why is it okay for male professional athletes to cry and maybe not other men? I'm from men's health, but I don't get that. You got to help me out here.
I think there's just something about athletes. It's like they're the supermen. And so Superman just took on the world and won however many Stanley Cups or won how many Super Bowls or whatever, especially the really uber famous guys. So, geez, we're sad too. And, oh, you know, this is great because you were the picture of masculinity and strength throughout your career. And now we see this warm, cuddly side. I think there's something about, I don't know that I agree with it, but I really, even men, I think men give athletes a pass, and so definitely so do women,
well,
for whatever reason.
You know what's interesting about this? So why this came up here at Men's Health was I was actually surfing the web about a week ago, and there was a big, this turns out to be a big topic of conversation online about whether it's okay for guys to cry at the end of Toy Story 3. Which begs the question, is it okay for guys to cry?
Mm-hmm.
I sort of had a reaction similar to what you're just saying. I'll tell you what I did. I mean, we're all entitled to our opinion about this. I'm not suggesting that I or Men's Health has the consummate answer, but I think we have some insight because we write about and talk about guys all day. That's our job. But, you know, I didn't look to professional athletes to think to myself, is it okay for men to cry? I thought to myself, who's the most manly, masculine, complex kind of a guy that I can think of who might have cried? Now, I'm about to throw out the name of a fictional character, but this fictional character to me portrayed in my mind the most amazingly authentic portrayal of a true man I've ever seen in all the movies and TVs I've ever watched, and that was Tony Soprano. Because there's this guy who basically would think nothing of killing you, and yet he was struggling on the inside about his family and his mother and his kid. He was like a real guy. It was complicated. Nothing
right.
was simple for him.
Right.
And in at least one episode, he cried.
Yeah.
Now, he then went and beat someone up. That was part of his solution for dealing with the tears. But I thought to myself, if Tony Soprano could cry, it's probably okay for the rest of us in a few isolated circumstances where there's nothing else to do.
All right, this is the thing, though. You said isolated circumstances. Crying at Toy Story 3? Are you kidding me? Crying at Toy Story 3? Oh, no way, Greg. There's no guy I know that's going to get on a golf tee, even with me there. It doesn't matter with a woman there or not. Or playing poker with any of the guys I've played poker with. I would faint on the floor. I guarantee you. I will mail you $1,000 if one of them told me they would cry at Toy Story 3. There's no way.
But that doesn't mean they didn't.
Oh, they would never admit it, though, I can tell you
well,
that.
Well, there's admitting it, and then there's doing it, you know. And now, I saw Toy Story 3 there. I didn't cry, but I could kind of get how to a guy. You know, in a way, it kind of goes back to your professional sports example. I mean, I don't want to do a movie spoiler here, but something happens at the end of the movie, and it's not what you think. And it is sort of one of those moments where Why is the professional athlete crying? Perhaps it's because he knows that he's never going to be the star again. He's never going to live that kind of greatness again. And
right.
it's like a death. And at the end of Toy Story 3, there's kind of a similar death, but it's not the one you think it's going to be.
Oh, gee, that's not a spoiler. There's kind of a death, but it's not the one you think it's going to be. So just leave that up to you to figure out what that is. I hope you go run out and see it. Well, here's the thing. This is probably the question that's always asked. I mean, I don't know because I'm married and you're married, but they have eHarmony and Match.com and all those things. I bet you there's a question somewhere on there about crying, but I wonder how many women would not find a man attractive if he said, oh, yeah, I cried the drop of a hat.
Yeah, I think that's – we actually did a survey, and we asked guys online to tell us, you know, what they think about crying. And I think there's a lot of talk now that more men cry more publicly. And I don't know if that's true or not, or it's just that there's more cameras and more places to capture it. But we found some interesting things from our readers. So we asked them, is it okay for men to cry? And if it is okay, when would you cry or when did you cry? We left out some really obvious things. You know, if your child dies, when your parent dies, I mean, if you have a normal family relationship and that doesn't bring you to tears, that may indicate some bigger problem, okay?
Yeah.
So those are normal times for all of us to cry. But beyond that, when do men cry? You know what the number one answer was?
When their dog dies.
When your dog dies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not surprised by that, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't either. And in fact, 3 months ago, a vet told my wife and I that our dog had 3 weeks to live.
Oh.
And I have to tell you, I knew that's what he was going to say. And yet the minute he said it, I sobbed. I couldn't believe how racked with grief I was.
Sure, man's best friend. Are you kidding me?
That dog, you know, your dog is man's best friend, and to lose your best friend is like to lose the closest, one of your closest companions.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. See, here's another thing that's interesting, too. I would think that really super bad physical pain, then somebody's going to cry. But I've been with men who did everything in their power not to cry when I thought, oh, I would be hysterical and they should cry. I'm totally cool with that. I dated a guy one time who his hand caught on fire because he was tripping a switch on something. And he went to the hospital, man, he choked back tears like I have never seen anyone not cry.
I think it's our, as men, it's our natural reaction. And you know what? This may be true for women, too, but I don't know. I'm not a woman. And I don't have kids, so I've never stood there while a woman gave birth.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for most men, the reaction is not to cry. It's to scream and yell and curse. You know, I think cursing is the thing that relieves that kind of pain. I think ultimately, if you look and talk to most men, what could drive them to tears, we are so prone to fixing things. That's what drives many of us. So when you put us in a situation where we absolutely cannot fix it, and it's truly on a tragic level, I think that's the kind of thing that'll drive us to tears.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hopeless, and I can't – I shouldn't say hopeless. I'm helpless to help in this situation, and there's nothing I can do about it, and the consequences are dire. I think that's what drives men to tears. And I think going back to the professional athletes, it is a sort of helplessness. I'm done. It's over. That part of my life, which was everything to me, it's going away forever.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. It's an interesting topic. Men's Health Magazine, pick it up. Greg, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
It's great to be here, Kate.
Yeah, it is a good topic. I mean, how many guys listening to me can relate to that? I guarantee most of this audience, I think he choked back the tears, and I think he made a great point. If it has something to do with the death of a relative, you got to ask yourself, wow, why aren't they crying? All right, let me throw out the digits, 800-259-5791.